When Francisco Franco assumed power in Spain in 1939 after a brutal civil war, Catalan writers like Mercè Rodoreda struggled as their native language was systematically suppressed. She fled to France, and while in exile, she wrote The Time of the Doves, considered by many to be the best Catalan novel of all time. It's the subject of the third installment of our series on underappreciated literature this summer, and I'm very pleased that it brings Sandra Cisneros, a rather notable novelist in her own right, back to the show. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm okay. Catalonia is the Spanish province that includes Barcelona. Do you have any idea why it's produced so many first-rate artists and architects? Picasso, Miró, Dalí, Gaudí?
You know, I don't know, but I would guess, I'm just going to take a wild guess, that it's like any culture that suffers any kind of oppression. You know, things of the spirit always flourish when there is great oppression. In the United States, we saw the birth of the blues and jazz as a result of a culture under oppression. Chicano literature is certainly a culture under colonialism and oppression, and same has happened with the history of Catalan literature. So I see a lot of parallels between my own culture and that of the Catalan people.
So Rodoreda isn't the only important Catalan writer that we don't know about?
No, there are others. I wish I could tell you that I know them well, but I'm not a scholar or I'm not a proficient enough to read Catalan literature in an original language, but that's what I'm told.
Well, do you know much about the Catalan language? Is it a Romance language?
I know enough from talking to teachers of bilingual education when I've been in the region that it's parallel to stories of where I live in South Texas. I see parallels.
Sandra, what's that in the background? Is that your parrot trying to speak Catalan?
That's my parrot who speaks parrot. And she's usually very quiet, except when I have to do radio interviews.
Now, I understand that Catalan is spoken in France and Spain, on some of the Mediterranean islands.
Yeah.
So this was a strong culture that survived despite the pressures of much more powerful cultures that surround it.
Yeah, and it also had, you know, great literature. Cervantes makes mention of one of the Tirant le Blanc, one of the great novels that came out contemporaneous with El Quijote, and I don't know how to pronounce the author's name, but it's a Catalan name that I can't pronounce. But just to know that it's a long history of literature, wasn't just born during the Franco regime.
In the introduction you wrote to Camellia Street, another Rodoreda novel, you said that when you finished The Time of the Doves, you felt as foolish as Balboa discovering the powerful Pacific. Well, first of all, how were you introduced to Mercè Rodoreda's work, and why did you feel that way?
Well, this is a funny story, but it's true. I was taken to do a lecture at a graduate student's class at the University of Texas in Austin. And the graduate student who was taking me was so excited about my appearance, although probably no one had heard of me back then. And she introduced me to her parking lot attendant at the university. And he was probably a graduate student of something or other. But we got to talking, and he said, "Have you heard of Mercè Rodoreda?" And at that time, I didn't have a lot of money, so whenever anyone mentioned a book, I'd make them write it on, you know, check stub or something. And I said, "No, I don't know who she is." And he said, "Oh, García Márquez says she's one of the greatest novelists of this century." So I gave him a check stub, and he wrote down Mercè Rodoreda, The Time of the Doves. And I put it in an envelope until I could get some money, which wouldn't happen until a year later. And I bought the book when I was living and teaching at UC Berkeley, which is a town with lots of books, and I found a copy, the copy I have in my hand right now, and I remember starting the book on early in the afternoon and finishing it sitting out in a patio. The sun had moved, and it was sunset, and of course it was cold out, and I just remember looking at my hands and thinking, am I myself, or am I Colometa, the protagonist of The Time of the Doves?
So
completely in her body.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it was written in Catalan, which was a thriving language, as we said. But then when Franco took over, he tried to stamp it out, didn't he? He even put up signs that read, "Don't bark," suggesting that people who spoke Catalan sounded like dogs.
Well, it's the same thing that happens here in South Texas. You know, no Mexicans and no dogs, and people getting punished for speaking Spanish in school. So there's a lot of parallels between the Catalan culture and what I see as Chicano culture here in the Southwest.
Do you know much about Rodoreda's life? She was born in 1909.
Yeah, she lived in a kind of fairly comfortable life, and she was an up-and-coming novelist. She had written some other novels before this one, but I do know that after the war, she couldn't write, and she said she didn't even read except for great literature. Everything else made her feel like vomiting, so she didn't write for something like 20 years. Can you imagine not writing for 20 years or not wanting to read or being so overwhelmed by circumstances of your life and going into such a deep depression and your language being outlawed and living as an immigrant? So all of that, to not hear your language, to have it outlawed, to have witnessed the things that she witnessed, caused her to stop writing. And it was only after almost 20 years that this book came to light, and it came out kind of like that little ball of spit that the protagonist talks about at the end of the book. Like, she was so choked up that it all came out as a cathartic moment in her life. It's just amazing.
She wrote some short stories, and then she wrote this novel in 1962.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you read a passage from the opening of the novel?
Yeah, and I always send a novelist to just the first page of this novel to get them to see great writing and to get inspired. When we got to the square, the musicians were already playing. The roof was covered with colored flowers and paper chains, a chain of paper, a chain of flowers. There were flowers with lights inside them, and the whole roof was like an umbrella turned inside out because the ends of the chains were tied much higher up than the middle where they all came together. My petticoat had a rubber waistband I've had a lot of trouble putting on with a crochet hook that could barely squeeze through. It was fastened with a little button and a loop string, and it dug into my skin. I probably already had a red mark around my waist, but as soon as I started breathing harder, I began to feel like I was being martyred. There were asparagus plants around the bandstand to keep the crowd away, and the plants were decorated with flowers tied together with tiny wires, and the musicians with their jackets off, sweating. My mother had been dead for years and wouldn't give me advice, and my father had remarried. My father remarried, and me without my mother, whose only joy in life had been to fuss over me. And my father remarried, and me a young woman, all alone in the Plaza del Diamante waiting for the coffee pot raffle, and Julieta shouting to be heard above the music, "Stop, you'll get your clothes all wrinkled." And before my eyes, the flower-covered lights and the chains pasted on them and everybody happy. And while I was gazing, a voice said right by my ear, "Would you like to dance?"
Sandra Cisneros reading, actually it was the second paragraph from Mercedes Rodoreda's novel, The Time of the Doves, from a fabulous translation by David Rosenthal. I don't read Catalan, so I have no idea whether he really captures the feeling of it, but it sounds like he has, and she wrote in such a distinctive writing style.
She did.
And cantatory, you know, almost.
Yes, and you know, I had to read this quickly because all of the sentences are just all running one into the other in long paragraphs. That sense of energy and that excitement of a young woman falling in love, and her, and also kind of like the circumstances of history and everything whirling about her and happening faster than she can control.
Do you think that Rodoreda based Natalia on herself?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because she was so mysterious and so conservative about revealing herself, which makes me think that she really did some nasty things, you know. When you see her in interviews, she looks like this librarian schoolmarm, but I know she had a passionate life because if you read any of her stories, they're always about passions. And, you know, sometimes they're just passions of a child or of a maid or of a construction worker. But they're about pasiones, and you can't make that up.
Well, the man asking Natalia to dance is Kimet, and she breaks off an engagement to be with Kimet. Kimet calls her Colometa, little dove in Catalan. Do you think that that it's the same kind of doves that you usually think of as symbols of peace and hope that she is referring to here?
Well, I don't know. That's a good one. I'll tell you this. What I do know is that I can't look at a puddle of water or at a dove without thinking of this book.
Because it's still, the images of it are so powerful in your mind?
Yeah, it's so strong, the way that she's created this universe. You know, if you read this, you're changed. You have witnessed a war, you've survived a war, you've fallen in love, you've taken care of dovecotes. You know, everything that happens here is just from that paragraph. You're so much in the body, and I think that's the extraordinary mark of a great writer, that you are in the body of the characters. It's as if that tight petticoat is torturing you. And the shoes that she's wearing, you know, everything, every description, especially for women, it's so wonderful to see those tiny details of an elastic that's too tight on your waist, or patent leather shoes that are killing you, but you've got to wear them because they're beautiful.
So she's almost like a writer's writer. Do you know how this book was received when it was published in 1962?
Oh, you're going to tell me that story? I'd love to hear it.
No, I don't know. I do know that it took 20 years for it to be translated into English. So obviously, nobody felt compelled.
Well, I know it's been translated in many, many languages. I don't know how it was received in Spain itself, because I came to it so late in my life. I'd like to know that story. I know that she survived to see many accolades. She became very ill at about 1980-45, I believe she passed away, but she at least survived to get the rewards from the fruit of her labor.
And to be able to return to Spain.
Yes.
So it must have been published there after Franco finally died. And Catalan was once again allowed to be published. They changed the title. In Catalan, it's La Plaza del Diamante. I guess it's...
Yeah. In Spanish, it's also La Plaza del Diamante, with Diamond Plaza. But that doesn't make any sense in English.
So did you read it in English first?
I read it in Spanish, but I read it in English first. And I read it in Spanish so I could get close to the Catalan, because, of course, I don't read Catalan.
Do you know much? Are you one of those readers who then, once you read a book that you fall madly in love with, have to know everything about the writer?
I am also one of those readers that tries to even buy books about the author that she can't read. So every time I go to Spain, I buy books in Catalan that have photographs of Rodoreda or biographies, and I'll just try to read them even though I don't read Catalan, try to figure them out and just look at the pictures. And I do anything I can. I haven't read all her books. Some of the early books, you know, aren't translated into English, and I read Spanish like a elementary school person, so it takes me a long time. But I kind of like that I haven't read all the books. That way I can keep savoring and discovering Rodoreda. Although I always have a copy of one of her books by my bedside. If I don't have Time of the Doves, I have her short story collection. And
My
I like
Christina.
My Christina. And I like to, or Camellia Street, I just like to read one page when I'm in a funk or if I'm blocked or, and I don't know what I'm doing with my life or with my writing. If I just read one page, that reminds me what I'm after. And I say, okay, try to do something like this, even though you can't, in your own style.
Now, so we have perhaps three books by Rodoreda in English, Camellia, Christina and Other Stories, and The Time of the Doves. Are they all as good as The Time of the Doves?
Yeah, I think they are. I think the short stories are fabulous. I think she's a wonderful short story writer. I don't think her early novels, you know, in my opinion, are as strong as her later work. I think she was practicing, and her short stories are magical and deeply moving. It's the Camellia Street is a fabulous story about a young woman who becomes one of the prostitutes in Las Ramblas. And it also has moments where it's magical and leaps into this writing that seems experimental and doesn't seem of the last century.
And was it also written after she'd gone into exile in France?
No, I believe that Camellia Street was written when she came back, but I'm not sure. You know, I'm not a scholar. I just read like a writer. I read the book, and then I go back to page one and start all over again to look under the hood, so to speak, as to how the vehicle happens to move.
But I get the sense that she needed perhaps that break where she where the well filled up again to be able to write the best works of her life.
Yeah, I suppose. Imagine if you were exiled and had to emigrate to another country and couldn't speak English and you couldn't even bear to read in English and you just witnessed the world with so much pain for 20 years, what that would do to you. So I think this book is, you know, just a beautifully labored work that came from her corazón. It really came from her heart and from her tripas, from her guts. It wasn't something that she was writing for a prize or for from the ego. It really was coming from a very pure place of light.
You mentioned earlier that you're sometimes inspired by her sentences. Is that a problem for a writer sometimes? Because all writers spend a lot of time reading. But if you read somebody who is as powerful a stylist as Rodoreda, do you find yourself slipping into Rodoreda-ese?
No, I don't think so. You know, there are some writers that don't like to read novels when they're writing a novel or don't like to read short stories when they're writing short stories. I think that's crazy. You know, every one of us has such a distinct voice. Even if we wrote about the same time period or the same subject matter, it would never come out the same. And I think it's wonderful to look at great writers and to become inspired and learn from them, but it's never going to be identical. Whatever you do, will help to point you towards maybe higher standards if you hadn't read that book, but I don't think you're ever going to emulate or come up with a cheap copy.
We should point out that The Time of the Doves is about the Civil War, and Natalia is quite naive and kind of passive, and an interesting person to see the war through. It's kind of a story of a loss of innocence, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And I think it's extraordinary that she would choose a woman who works in a bakery to tell the events of history, that, you know, someone that just gets swept up by history, someone that isn't on one side or the other, just happens to be there and is victim to all of the idealism and violence from the war.
The book is available through Gray Wolf, as are the short stories. And what about Camellia Street? Who published that?
Oh, Camellia Street is also by Gray Wolf. What I do is when I travel to Latin America, I always look for her works to see if there's something someone has written, whether it's scholarly or original work in Spanish, because there seems to be more available about her in Spanish than there is in English. But maybe after this show, we'll see more attempts to translate her into English.
We can only hope. Meanwhile, my great thanks to Sandra Cisneros for talking about Mercé Rodoreda. We've been talking about The Time of the Doves, published by Gray Wolf Press, translated by David Rosenthal, as part of our underappreciated literary series.